With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode brought to you by Yahoo Sports Canada. You guys know the deal already. Like, subscribe, share it with your friends, leave positive comments. Today, I am joined by the man, the myth, the legend, the all-time leaderboard assists, not assists, but points, leaderboard. Words, what are they? I don't know them, but Chris Walder certainly does. Chris, how are you?
Assist, you could throw assist in there. I feel like I'm kind of covering the spectrum of statistics for Scotty Barnes. Maybe some guy on Twitter actually said today you should do Scotty Barnes assist. So maybe that's next up. But Amon, always a pleasure. Raptors Twitter royalty in front of me right here. And I'm excited to talk some hoops.
I'm excited. It's always fun to talk basketball after a win. And it's always more fun to talk basketball over a dominant win. Over this team that, I'm sorry, guys, not better than the Raptors. We've seen it time and time again. The Toronto Raptors just defeated the Atlanta Hawks in what was less of a, you know, game and more of a blowout, a complete domination, if you will. What were your thoughts of that 139-109 win against the Atlanta Hawks? What are words today?
Sorry, I won't hold it against you, Amon. But you know what? I got a lot of slack on Twitter because I was talking about like this initial stretch for the season for the Toronto Raptors, about this stretch of death. And I kind of culminated that with the Atlanta Hawks, who are a good team. I mean, they may be a play-in team when it's all said and done, but they're going to be right there in the thick of it in the Eastern Conference playoff picture. So going up against them last night, you're not going in there with Fred VanVleet, your starting point guard. You're throwing Scotty Barnes out there, bringing the ball up the court. But honestly, yeah, like you said, a blowout victory, especially in the second half, the Raptors kind of ran away with it. A lot of nice takeaways following what was pretty much their worst performance of the season, coming off that loss to Philadelphia, where Joel Embiid wasn't even out there and the Raptors were just lackluster energy, lackluster effort across the board. But I liked a lot what I saw from them. It was like, you know, the peak of like Toronto Raptors basketball, both on offense and defense. A lot of guys stepped up with VanVleet out, and it was a feel-good victory to kind of end this really difficult stretch where you were facing a lot of teams that you're going to be seeing in that Eastern Conference playoff race.
Yeah, no, and I came in, you know, poking a little bit of fun at the Atlanta Hawks. They are a good team, and I talked about them. I have a video essay out really talking about how the Raptors stack up against teams like the Cavs and like the Hawks, where I think the Hawks made a move this offseason thinking, we're no longer a play-in team like we were last year. We're trying to cement ourselves in the top six of the Eastern Conference. We want to be playoff contenders. And quite frankly, I have a lot of questions about their roster construction and how they're going about doing that. But they're still a good team. And what we saw from the Raptors without Fred VanVleet, to your point, is why I still think that they're a step ahead. And a little bit of that is just the modern roster construction. The Raptors don't start two undersized guards. They don't start two guys who are small in the backcourt. Instead, they went out there last night with all bigs, starting Christian Koloko at the five. And it was a complete, how do I explain this? So it was a domination in the second half. In the first half, in my opinion, the Raptors were playing pretty sloppy. They weren't really, especially defensively, like, yes, they were forcing a lot of turnovers. And let me tell you, OG Anunoby deserves an award already. Just put him on your first team All-NBA, All-Defensive Team, first team today. We don't even need the rest of the season. But OG was absolutely superb, but I thought the Raptors were playing pretty sloppily. And then the final few minutes of the second quarter, right leading into halftime, you saw the Raptors dig in just for a split little second, and we saw how good they can be. And that kind of carried over into parts of the third quarter, where it became an utter blowout towards the end of the game. And so my question to you is, because I'm seeing a lot of people talking about this, what were your thoughts about the all big lineup that the Raptors were able to throw out, which gave the Hawks a lot of fits?
Yeah, it was a little bit crazy. I didn't know if it was going to work, especially when you're going up against a team like Atlanta. Trae Young, this offensive wizard, this offensive mastermind who's been kind of scorching the league to start the season. But he was rendered pretty much ineffective, and he didn't really have much of an answer for the Raptors' size. He had to deal a lot with Scottie Barnes, who was like pressing him up the court right in his grill. We were joking about the fact that Trae had a triple-double, 14 points and 10 assists. If you don't even take into account the turnovers, those are kind of pedestrian numbers for someone who's really set the bar high for himself. But the 10 turnovers, he was a minus 30 in the plus minus. And for Atlanta's like number one primary option to be kind of obsolete like that was just a testament to Toronto's defense, the pressure they bestowed upon him. I like this Giant lineup. I mean, we always say on Twitter, like the 6'8", 6'9 group, guys who could play multiple positions for the most part, when you're excluding Christian Coloco, of course, who's like the tallest guy on the team, but you can go fully, you know, five guys out there who can defend the perimeter, defend the rim to an extent. And it's kind of like, you know, this Dr. Frankenstein mastermind, mad mind of Nick Nurse, where having five guys out there that big and that versatile, it's actually paid off. And last night's victory over Atlanta was a prime example of how great it can be.
Yeah. And why it works is because of the playmaking. We talked about it at the top, talking about Scottie Barnes and maybe you counting assists moving forward. It's the point Pascal and the point Scottie. Now, what were your thoughts on watching them kind of run the offense yesterday for the Raptors?
Yeah, I was very impressed with Scottie Barnes. I mean, I wasn't really surprised that he got the point guard duties. You know, obviously your mind goes to Malachi Flynn, but, you know, he's in and out of the rotation a lot. Scottie Barnes, you trust him to bring up the ball up the floor and be that facilitator, be that playmaker. You know, and he started off strong. His three-point shooting was on display there in the first quarter. He had this nice behind-the-back dribble, step-back three-pointer, and I was like, man, this is probably going to be Scottie Barnes' night. I mean, it wasn't without hiccups. There was a couple of careless turnovers early where he was running baseline and he was throwing it into traffic. And that will come with time, you know, kind of ditching those bad habits and throwing it into traffic. But for the most part, I mean, Scottie Barnes, he was kind of like on the verge of like triple-double numbers. He was hitting the glass. He was facilitating. He always has his customary no-look pass in transition. You know, take a shot every time Scottie Barnes does that during a basketball game.
Don't do that if you
if you care for your liver, exactly. Yeah, we don't want to be calling the cops on you to pick you up. Every time he's out there and he's leading the team, it's just a lot of fun. And I've made comments about this in the past with Scottie. He plays with so much joy, and it's kind of contagious. It carries over to the rest of the team. You mentioned Pascal Siakam. I think with Siakam at this point, this start that he's had to the season, the numbers that he's pulling up, he's been so consistently great. And I feel like now it's almost kind of easy to take what he's doing for granted. Not only is he putting up fantastic numbers across the board, you know, leading the team in points, rebounds, and assists, but he's taking smart shots. He's picking his spots effectively. He's not forcing the issue on offense. He's getting to the charity stripe. You know, his free throw shooting has been hit or miss, but honestly, yeah, you couldn't ask for anything more from your star player. And the fact that he's leading the team in this regard, he made those comments, of course, earlier in the season that he wanted to be a top five player. I think it's hard to dispute that. And this Atlanta performance was just another example of Pascal Siakam taking the bull by the horns and putting himself right up there in the upper echelon of talent in the NBA at this very moment.
I completely agree with all of that. I think just to the point about the joy with which Scottie Barnes plays, he has a turnover in transition where, I mean, it's running along. There's no need to make that extra pass. He does love making an extra pass, but he was bringing the ball up in transition, throws it out of bounds, careless turnover, unforced turnover, didn't need to happen. On the next play, he throws a no-look pass in traffic. And it's like, that is someone who does not hold the weight of his last play. He just continues to play with this joy. He's like, I know I can do this. I know that, like, I'm just having fun out here and I'm effective and I'm great. And it was fun to watch because it's like, yep, this is someone who believes in himself. And I appreciate that because, you know, I think there's some other guys that might be down on themselves after a turnover, want to play a little bit more conservative on the next possession. My heart would appreciate that. But just for the sheer joy of this game, watching Scottie Barnes do that, I was like, yep, Scottie's great.
Shout out to Mr. Sticks, Jordan Hales, dropping the Magic Johnson comparison out there on Twitter. Big shoes to fill. you know, Magic Johnson, but Scottie Barnes, honestly, you know, you close your eyes, you kind of get these visions of, like, you know, the old school vintage Magic Johnson. He does show glimpses of that. So it's not that asinine of a comparison, but yeah, like you said, I mean, Scottie Barnes never gets too down on himself. He's always willing to kind of make the flashy pass, and we love him for it.
We absolutely do. And to just expand a little bit more on Pascal Siakam and the game that he's having, or the start that he's having, I think has just been ridiculously impressive. A 37-point triple-double against the Brooklyn Nets and ended up being a loss. But showing that he can do it, you know, that 20 points, 13 assists game against the Philadelphia 76ers, showing that he can do it by passing the ball. He's just shown that he can... Not just, we talked, you mentioned it, getting to his spots on the court, but not just that, but getting to the numbers, getting what, because it matters when you are the leader of a team. It matters to push your team forward. And last night, he didn't have his best shooting game of the season. He was struggling a little bit. The ball, it felt like there was a bit of a rim on the net for Pascal Siakam. But what did he do? And you mentioned it, he got to the line like 16 times. Not the greatest free throw shooter, but that's another step. But just being able to get there and being able to get to his spot. When the ball is in Pascal's hands, I trust that that ball is going into the paint. I trust that the Raptors are going to get in there, whether they kick it out to an open shooter or he finishes in through traffic and maybe gets bumped. You know that something good is going to happen because Pascal is relentless at pushing the ball in, getting to his spot, and making a play. And I think that that's been, to me, the confidence that he's played with, but just the size and the tenacity. Like, he is not going to back down, and you're either going to put him on the free throw line or you're going to give up a shot to him. And I just think that's been a ton of fun to watch. What has been your favorite sort of maybe growth from Pascal Siakam that you've got to see this year?
I think something that he's got a lot of flack of in the past, and we're kind of dating ourselves back to the bubble here, was his confidence. Because when he was low on himself, and he's even admittedly said this, that there are stretches where he's not, you know, where he goes through these cold spurts, or, you know, he's turning the ball over, he's not playing to the best of his ability. It kind of shows in his demeanor. But now that he's setting these expectations for himself and these goals, and something that I've kind of always liked about the makeup of this Toronto Raptors roster is that it's a sum of the parts, and it's not just one guy and everyone else rallying around him. In some instances, sure, you could say that about Pascal Siakam because he kind of is putting himself on another level right now. But one game, you can have Scottie Barnes stepping up and dropping 20 to 25. Gary Trent Jr. had a game earlier in the season where he was lighting up a team, no rebounds and assists, the J.R. Smith special, if you will. And Van Vliet, you know, obviously he had that horrid game against Philadelphia, but he's also capable of kind of stepping up and leading the team in that regard. With Pascal, I think, you know, when he's playing to this degree, I think he, like I mentioned earlier, he knows where to pick his spots. Like you said, when his shot isn't falling, he knows that he can do other things to kind of help this basketball team win. And that's why you're seeing his rebound numbers go up and his assist numbers go up. I think his basketball IQ right now is off the charts. And you can see this with other teams where the number one guy, the number one offensive creator, feels like they have to do that much more to carry the load.
Sorry, is that what you said?
Trae Young, for example. Yeah, exactly. I didn't say it, but you know, you did, but it is what it is. But I don't think Pascal Siakam views himself in that light. I think he knows he's playing as well as he is, but I think he also knows that he doesn't kind of have to overexert himself and kind of force the issue with his style of play. He knows that he's surrounded by playmakers. He's surrounded by guys who could really make that number one spot and lead the team on any given night. That's kind of what I appreciate more about his game right now, because I don't think in the past he kind of realized that. Now he's putting up those all NBA numbers, but when he didn't have the best shooting performance like he did against Atlanta, he was still doing a lot of other things to help that team win.
Yeah, no, certainly. And one of those other guys that can always step up on any given night. But also, I think you mentioned it, the Raptors are kind of a team that are better than the sum of their parts, right? And that only works when you have, in my opinion, a guy like this. He is the glue guy to me. He's what makes this all work on the offensive end and on the defensive end, and that's OG Anunoby, who I thought had a quiet, superb game. Because, not quiet, when you think about, like, I called him Burglo G, which is not great, I recognize this. But what was great was just how active he was on the defensive end. He had to, his minutes got cut a little bit because he did have those five fouls, but he was just so incredibly aggressive. And I just, to me, what makes this work, and I keep saying it, is OG Anunoby. I just thought he was absolutely fantastic, and I wanted to give him a little bit of a shout out because, my goodness, when we talk about, you know, Trae Young's triple-double with turnovers, a large part of that is because he kept running into OG Anunoby, who was out there thieving.
It's wild with OG Anunoby because I always look, again, like at the makeup of this roster. And when we're talking strictly about offense, you can make a case that OG is probably the fifth option when he's out there. You know, is he going to get more looks than a Gary or a Fred or a Scotty or a Pascal? Probably not. But where his bread is buttered is on the defensive end. And this is a guy that is genuinely gunning for that all defensive team. And last night, the way he was picking pockets, the way he was aggressive, again, in the face of the offensive playmakers. And, you know, there was one where he picked a pocket, he went down to the other end and dunked the basketball. A lot of people on Raptors Twitter and even NBA Twitter last night were promoting OG Anunoby's defense. And that is what's so perfect about this team is that OG Anunoby, we always say, you know, is this the season that he's going to take that next step? Is he going to evolve into kind of like this NBA all-star like kind of talent? I know we all see that in him, especially defensively, and maybe offensively there are going to be shortcomings as he's a part of this roster, but he brings so much value defensively. And last night it was just kind of like a magic show of watching him, the amount of steals that he had. He was forcing, almost got a career high and pushing the Raptors franchise record. It's unbelievable. OG Anunoby defensively. And he was one of the few bright spots in that performance against Philadelphia, and that's carried over to Atlanta. It's one of those things, defense, you know, shots are not going to fall every night, but you can't teach like the intensity and the tenacity on defense. And OG Anunoby has certainly carried that over from game to game.
I agree with everything that you said about OG Anunoby. I did want to add something before we move on to the quiz that I have for you. And that's about Fred VanVleet. Because here at Yahoo Sports Canada, we're online. I see your tweets. And I'm coming after them because I'm seeing some people say some crazy things, in my opinion, about Fred VanVleet and his role on this team and whether or not he's needed on this Raptors roster. People are looking at this big, long lineup that did what it did to Trae Young and are thinking, maybe Fred comes off the bench. Maybe you roll with this. I kind of like the rim protection that you get from Christian Coloco. And I'm here to tell you not to live and die by every single game, because not every single team in the league, there aren't 28 other Atlanta Hawks. You're not going to be going up against teams that small very regularly. That is a uniquely built team, an oddly built team, in my opinion, for today's NBA, but they're a rare team. Same thing with Tyrese Maxey. There's no Tyrese Maxey on every single team. So I think people are looking at, like, you know, Brad kind of struggled against Maxey in his last game, and then look at what the Raptors are able to do without him, and are deciding that that means something, and that is not true. Fred VanVleet is still your second best player. He is still the all-star on your team, and we saw that. We talked earlier about the Brooklyn Nets game. What did we get from that game? We've got a brilliant performance from Pascal Siakam and a brilliant performance from Fred VanVleet as well. Also, Fred VanVleet is such a unique guard in his ability to play with his big and long team because he can play on ball, and when you need a point guard to slow things down in the playoffs, when you need to set things up in the half court, because the Raptors are going to need to do that. They're not going to be playing the Philadelphia 76ers and the Atlanta Hawks every single night, who are the two worst transition defenses in the league. They're not going to be going up against those teams routinely. So they're going to need a point guard to set things up in the half court. And Fred VanVleet can do that for you. But also, he is so great at playing off ball, which is why he matters to this team. He is your best catch and shoot player. He can take 10 threes a game and average over 40%. How do I know that? Because he's done that before. He is so good at what he does. He is a perfect complement to Pascal Siakam. We know that the Pascal Siakam, Fred VanVleet pick and roll is an absolute deadly combo. We know that's always good for a bucket. We know that your offense is going to stagnate at times and you need someone who can, one, you know, do that inverted pick and roll with Pascal Siakam, two, be a ball handler and a playmaker, and three, catch and shoot at a great rate. Because yes, we're seeing fantastic three-point shooting nights from Pascal Siakam and from Scottie Barnes, but you need someone who's consistently going to be a threat from out there, not just in catch and shoot situations, but pull-up situations as well, because you need a pull-up three threat in today's NBA. It's just something that every team needs, and Fred can do that for you. He is so important to what this team does. And I just mentioned on the offensive end, we're not even talking about defensively, and he is one of your team's best defenders. Please, please, please do not live and die by every game. We did this in years past with Pascal Siakam when people discounted him. We did this in years past with OG Anunoby when people discounted him, and now we're doing it with Fred VanVleet. It's tired. It's whack. Stop doing it. Fred is important to what this team does. I'm so sorry. I just had a mini rant in me that I needed to get out.
Hey. Good stuff, Amon. Look, I couldn't have said it better myself. I mean, essentially, the long story short with Fred VanVleet is the Toronto Raptors are not a better basketball team without one of their best players. I think last night, obviously, it was fun seeing the big lineup out there, Scotty running the point, and the way he just kind of devoured Trae Young defensively. But Fred VanVleet, and again, this is paired with the fact that he had probably one of, if not the worst game of his career against Philadelphia, where I believe he went 0 from 11 from the field and Tyrese Maxey lit him up on offense. But at the same time, you can't expect long-term. Like, Fred VanVleet is going to have some duds every now and then. So is Pascal Siakam. So is Scottie Barnes. Is that, are we going to start changing the entire makeshift of the team because of a couple of duds, a couple of, you know, sour grapes? It doesn't work like that. The Raptors will be better off when VanVleet gets over this little nagging injury and he gets back into the lineup. Those big lineups will still be there. Nick Nurse is still creative in that regard, but you need Fred VanVleet to be Fred VanVleet, and you need Fred VanVleet to be on the basketball court.
This team does not work without him. So yes, I completely agree with that. Now let's get into the fun part. Enough ranting, enough being angry at people disrespecting Fred VanVleet. Now you, like I mentioned at the top of the show, are the king of Raptors leaderboard stats, specifically for Scottie Barnes.
Try my best.
I thought, you know what? Let's move off of Scottie Barnes for a second. Let's shower some love on Pascal Siakam and what he's doing on this Raptors leaderboard, and maybe some of the other Raptors as well. So are you ready for your quiz?
Of course I'm not ready. This is going to expose me, that like the fraud that I am. If I didn't have Basketball Reference, I'd be in the basement right now. I wouldn't know exactly what I'm talking about, but you know what? Bring it on. I'm ready for a challenge.
All right. So Pascal Siakam scores a lot of points. Mm-hmm. He has cemented himself in the top 10 on the Raptors points leaderboard. I'm going to name the three people behind him because he sits at 7.
Right.
And I want to know if you can tell me who the 6 people are ahead of Pascal Siakam. Ooh. On the Raptors points total board. All right. So there's coming 6. In. Okay. At number 8 is Jonas Valanciunas. Coming in at number 9 is Jose Calderon. Coming in at number 10 is the guy that we just talked about, Frederick VanVleet. Mm-hmm. Who is 1 through 6?
Does it have to be?
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
In order, because I will not get it in order.
It's fine.
All right. I really should know this. A lot of people. Okay, so DeMar DeRozan is the all-time leading scorer. Vince Carter is number 2, I think.
He's number 4.
Okay, I need to... I got to stop nursing the Scottie Barnes tweets here. I got to start looking at Pascal Siakam numbers, obviously. All right. So we got DeMar, we got Vince. Kyle Lowry has to be there.
Yes.
He's number 2. CB4, Chris Bosh.
He's 3.
He's up there. That's number 3. So I got the top 4. I'm good. So I'm missing 2 guys.
I can give you some clues.
I think I know them because I feel like I researched, maybe I don't, maybe I'm making this up in my head. Andrea Bargnani has to be up there.
He is number 5.
Oh my God. Because Lord knows he didn't do anything else. Lord knows he didn't rebound. He didn't block. He didn't do anything else.
Top five.
I'm going to throw a shot in the dark. This may be right. This may be wrong. Don't hold it against me. Is it Morris Peterson?
It is Mo Pete. There we go. The board, baby. Perfect. 6 for 6. And you might have done it in order. No, you just said Vince. Outside of Vince putting him a little higher, you did it in order.
Wow, I am even impressing myself. Morris Peterson, I don't know where I pulled that out of.
Impressive stuff. Now, you mentioned that Andrea Bargnani, you know, yes. He's only good for points is what you said.
For the most part. I feel like he's probably up there in rebounds just because he was here for a decent stretch.
I'm glad you said that because he's played 1,088 more minutes than Pascal Siakam.
Whew. I try to block that out from my memory. That's the problem.
But that's for the rounds. And my question to you is, knowing that he's played 1,088 more minutes than Pascal Siakam, knowing that he's a few inches taller than Pascal Siakam,
right?
Do you think that he has more total rebounds than Pascal Siakam?
Oh man, is that a trick question? Because I feel like you're trying to lean me in one direction. You know, shout out Harry Styles.
I will mention both of them are in the top 10 and they're fairly close together. They're right next to each other.
I feel like, oh man, Pascal, because I think it's like a recency bias. It's like, I'm trying to block out that Bargnani era from my memory. But again, he was here for a decent amount of years and, you know, he had rebounds fall into his lap because Lord knows he wasn't gunning for them himself.
To be fair, like he was the number one overall pick. So he had minutes right from the jump, whereas Pascal Siakam, you know, was coming off the bench for a bit, was on the Raptors G League team for a bit. He didn't get the minutes right away.
He had to earn that spot. You know, you're not gifted a role because you're the number one pick. Pascal Siakam started from the bottom. Now we're here. Shout out Drake. I'll say that Siakam has more rebounds. Why not? I could be wrong. Does he have more boards?
Congratulations. Wow. Pascal Siakam is number 7 on the Raptors total rebound list. And Andrea Bargnani is number 8. Pascal has nearly 500 more rebounds total than Andrea Bargnani in over 1,000 less.
Nice. Man, yeah. All these hours on Basketball Reference. I feel like it's kind of it's stuck in there. It must be like in the corner of my mind. Just pulling it out for quizzes like this, Amon.
Now, some easy ones that I'm going to throw at you, although you've been killing it. You've been killing it. So what is difficult at this point? I don't know. Can you tell me, does Pascal, yes or no, lead the Raptors in all NBA selections? And to lead, you can be tied or you can have the number one spot. But does he lead the Raptors? Does he have the number one spot for all NBA selections?
That's a great question because I feel like Vince had a few and Chris maybe had like some third teams in there. So Pascal has 2, unless I'm not reading his Wikipedia page properly at some point in my life.
He has 2.
I will say he's probably, because Kawhi had 1, so Pascal has more than Kawhi. I'll say Vince has the most. No, Vince, no, because at Vince's peak, he wasn't that great. I'll say, I feel terrible. I'm such a Vince Carter guy. You know what? I'll say Pascal is tied for the most with maybe Chris Bosh and DeMar. I don't know. Did DeMar have a couple?
DeMar has 2. Pascal has 2. You are correct.
Does Chris have 3?
Chris is not on my leaderboard list, so I don't know if he's ever
been. Okay, maybe Kristen... I was in. I saw
there
Chris.
Here's the thing, though. There were a lot of power forwards that, you know, were putting up the 2010s in those times, right?
Like, yeah, he was in an era where
there were a lot of those guys. Yeah. He maybe has 1, but he does not have 2. Vince Carter, however, does have 2 apparently. So it's tied with Martin Rosen and Vince Carter for most all NBAs for a Raptor player. So there we go.
Okay. All right. Well, I was kind of in the ballpark. I gave Chris Bosh way too much credit. Sorry, CB4. I'm just sticking up for my fellow Chris's. This is what we do. Got like a secret society.
All right. So I have to tell you, Pascal Siakam is not in the top 10 for this. He is, in fact, number 11, and that is for three-pointers made. He's just shy by 31 three-pointers, and he ties Doug Christie to make it into the top 10.
Right.
All right.
Please don't make me list the top 10 three.
I'm not going to make you do that. A meme, but not that meme. But I did want to ask you.
Sure.
Who on this current Raptors team is in the Raptors top 10 for three-pointers made?
It must be Fred.
Fred is actually number two ahead of Mo Pete. Number two, just behind Kyle Lowry.
Yeah, look, recently. I watched the Raptors games. Just I passed recently. The telecast. He moved into number two. Very
they mentioned
a solid
that.
Number for a guy who went undrafted, you know? When it's all said and done, we write the story about Fred VanVleet's tenure. The fact that he's that high up, and he's going to be moving up in a bunch of other categories as well.
It's incredible how many of the top 10 leaderboards Fred VanVleet has gotten himself on. It's impressive. And who is there's another current Raptor on this list.
In the top 10?
In the top 10.
And it's not Pascal, which is
Pascal's
weird.
Number 11. Pascal's number 11. Almost there. He should be there halfway through the year.
Maybe I'm going to give myself... It's not Gary. He wasn't here long enough. Boucher?
It is OG Anunoby.
Oh, OG. All right. OG I was again this Chris love that I'm coming up with. I'm just what's the one name I remember? Oh, it's my name. Maybe it's Boucher. Maybe it's Bosch. I don't know. OG Anunoby. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Yeah, he should
I
be
appreciate up. That. You know what my favorite thing about OG isn't just talking about how he's the glue guy. He is 10th all time for Raptors true shooting percentage. So he's just ridiculously efficient. And it's not like he's just getting it underneath the basket like a lot of these, you know, other guys that are mentioned here. He's also in your top 10 for three-pointers made. So he is just so incredibly efficient no matter where he is scoring from. And I think that that's something that's taken for granted with OG Anunoby. So I wanted to give him a little bit of love there.
And top 10 in all of our hearts, OG Anunoby. Shout out Emma Brown on Twitter, number one in her heart. But yeah, OG Anunoby, I should have got that. See, I started off so strong and then I just kind of fell to the wayside here. I was
it's
throwing
fine.
Me a bone
You'll get
here.
Back. There are a couple more that I'm going to hit you with.
All right.
We're going to move to blocks. All right, because it was, you know, there's some block parties recently. So for whatever reason, sure. Fred VanVleet gets credited with quite a few blocks. He might find his name on here somehow, some way. But there is a player who is currently on this Raptors team.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And he currently is tied with Pascal Siakam for being top 10 for having the 10th most blocks. Can you name who that player is?
Couldn't possibly be Fred. It's either OG or Chris, I feel. Can I go 3 for 3 with like these whiffs on the Chris? Is it Boucher?
It is Chris Boucher. Chris Boucher and Pascal Siakam are tied for 10th. Now here's the thing. Both of them are just 2 blocks shy of overtaking Tracy McGrady and 5 blocks shy of overtaking Serge Ibaka.
Tracy McGrady had that many blocks?
I have no idea how he's on this list with 278. I don't know. I don't get it.
Is he slipping a 20 to the guys at Basketball Reference? I don't buy that for a second. Well,
I
also don't remember much
it.
Of like the late 90s.
But like, still, it was confusing to me. Like some of these other names, like Chris Bosh, Amir Johnson, Jonas Valanciunas, I get it. I was like, Tracy McGrady, really, guys? But yeah, so both of them have the ability to leap into the top 7, overtaking Serge Ibaka, Tracy McGrady by American Thanksgiving. So that'll be fun to watch.
Christian Coloco will
everybody.
Pass them both. You know, I'm also doing shout out to my Twitter because I'm also doing the Christian Coloco all time blocks list. And boy, is that a pain in the butt when I have to say he's passing like 11 guys every time he gets a single rejection. And I have to write down all these names. Shout out Maceo Bastion and shout out Aaron, whatever. God, it was rough. A lot of typing going on at this household.
All right, we got two more left. One is NBA wide. I want to open this up.
Sure.
Who do you think is leading the league in steals currently?
Ooh, in steals. God. I need to check out Bleacher Report and all these apps for the stats. I don't even have a good guess. Is it? No, I couldn't. OG must be up there. Is OG up there? He's not leading the league, is he? There's no way
OG
he's leading the
and
league.
Fred VanVleet are leading the league in steals per game.
Really?
Stats news.
Good for them. Attaboy. Yeah. See, I knew you're not going to ask me like this generic NBA question. No, this is the Toronto Raptors podcast. I'm on to you.
And the last one, I was just sort of trying to find obscure ones. And I was like, biggest fine in Raptors history. What would that be? And I don't know. This is from Sports Track. So shout out to them. I was trying to filter through by team. And it was, do you know who's number one on that list according to them?
And what list is this? Sorry?
This is the biggest fine. And this is
the biggest fine
in Raptors history.
In Raptors history? Oh my goodness. Who did something stupid? Like the first, whenever like I think of someone doing like stupid during a game, and it's not even like a good example. I always think of like Matt Bonner and Kevin Garnett getting into like that little scuffle and that brouhaha, and then he walks off the court and he's like posing to the fans like a wrestler. But I'm like, he didn't get fined for that. That's dumb. I don't know. Did Sam Mitchell get fined for getting into it with Vince? I don't know. I don't even have a good guess for this. What is the biggest fine?
Here's the thing: that coach fight came out into the news way after. We don't really know. Yeah. But according to Sports Track, it was Pascal Siakam in the Tampa year going at Nick Nurse, which is an alleged fine because the Raptors have said that didn't happen, but they said $50,000 for that. And it was so funny because I was going through the fines and there were so many that was like Kyle Lowry technical is 4,000. Kyle Lowry technical is 4,000. Like, which is really great that his name just kept popping up there. But I thought that would be kind of a fun one to close it out on because it's probably not a real fine. And our guys are perfect. And things have come so far from that Tampa season when people thought we were failing out. You know, it's a great time. The vibes are great. Today was a great episode. Thank you so much, Chris, for joining me. Please tell everybody where they can find you.
Find me on Twitter at Walder Sports. Until Elon Musk shuts down the entire app, I'm going to continue doing the Scotty Barnes all-time scoring list and Christian Coloco all-time blocks list.
Ooh, that's gonna be a fun one.
Tweets. So follow me along the way. The Walder Sportscast, I'm getting married in December, but the Walder Sportscast will be returning at the start of the new year. I'm looking forward to getting more interviews. Amon, you've been on a couple of times. I hope to have you back on in the future. And seriously, shout out to Yahoo Sports Canada. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm always honored to be a part.
You were great. You're always great. I say you have the best voice in this game. I do believe that. Congratulations on getting married. And I hope to have you on again soon. Peace out. All right. Thanks, everybody, for watching. Once again, subscribe, share, like, comment. You guys know the deal. Peace out.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.